recent events in life, it has changed us much. And particularly, we have been changed by an app with the name Zoom. And for those investors among us, we wish we had had this name on our lips before the pandemic, but I'll digress. But Zoom has been at the forefront of the changes in our life. With Zoom, we no longer need to get up out of bed to go to church and to listen to a man preach, especially if it's a man that you don't really like when he's preaching. We can stay in bed on Sabbath morning and Sabbath afternoon, and when times arrive for services, we just reach for the smart device or remote control and say, voila, I tune in service. After all, it is a rest day. But are you tuned in? We can, during a prayer or singing, run to the kitchen, have something to eat, and get back in bed for a message, or just linger, and none of us, no one will be the wiser. But are you worshiping? Are you giving the Almighty your all? We can fall asleep. Not that some of us don't fall asleep in church, but if we fall asleep in church, there's somebody in the back looking at us. When you're online, we assume that because the name is there, the person is there, and physically and mentally. With Zoom, for those of us who love to sing and dance, we can dance as loud as we want with no one staring at you from the corner of your eyes and saying, has that person gone crazy? We do not mind Zoom because we are now a microwave generation. We want it now, instantly, with little and no effort. Our coffee is instant. Our bank is instant. Our meal is instant. Instant results. And we demand instant results from people. Not only from people do we demand instant results, we demand instant results from God. Because he's God, so he should have known that I wanted it, so he should have given it to me, not today, but yesterday. We have a great audacity. And now we want church to be instant, in and out, done, no effort. Our children are on Zoom, work is on Zoom, so why not church be on Zoom? But any children or anyone with children or the children themselves will tell you that they do not get the same out of being on Zoom as when they're present in class. And I'll tell you the same. I do not get the same out of church when on Zoom as when I'm at church present. I'm not saying Zoom is bad. It was there for us when we needed some semblance of normalcy. Zoom was there when there was no place for us to go. It kept us in contact with each other. But Zoom reminds me of being in a famine. You're limited as to what you can eat. But as soon as the opportunity presents itself, we should be back to eating a regular meal. So we should want to go back to church. There's something you cannot get outside the body. Some things you need in your walk that Zoom, YouTube, or skipping from church to church online just won't give you. You can only get it when you're grounded and connected to a body or to a church. When I was growing up, going to a church or going to a place of worship was not an event for a few hours. It was a lifestyle. You see, when Sabbath came, we had to be at church at 9 a.m. in the morning for Sabbath school. After that, we had to recite memory verse. Then we do praise and worship, testimony, then lunch. And then during lunch, the kids had to play Bible games. One Bible game that we used to play is chapter and verse, where someone would read from a book. They'd give you the chapter, and then you'd have to find a verse. It was good, great games because it helped the kids learn the Bible. Then we went back to more singing, more praise, more worshiping. But guess what? We didn't leave church until sunset, until we sing, "Day is dying in the west." And that wasn't the end. Church wasn't just for one day. It was a week, 3 days a week thing. We could not make excuse as to why we're not going to church. If you had a test, you can't stay home and say, Mommy, Daddy, I have a test. No. Go to church because the pastor will play for you and God will bring all things back to remembrance, they will tell you. And if you're sick, oh, church, that's the best place to be. There are a myriad of reasons why we cannot make it to church. Anything from medical reasons, and if anyone is infectious, stay home. To kids, sometimes one and all the same. We all have legitimate reasons. And no, you do not have to explain yourself to anyone why you cannot make it to church. But truly, it's none of anyone's business. But as a family, we're concerned, so we'll pray for you. Coming into church and showing up to church should not be an option for a Holy Spirit-filled, water-baptized believer in our Savior. But I will say this, and I will say but twice. If you fear, and if fear is one of the reasons why you don't come to church, well, don't get this wrong, but you need to review your relationship with the Almighty. Elder Smith has preached on this a few times. Fear can wreak havoc on your physical body and in turn on your spiritual body, the church. Fear and worrying, stress, anxiety is the greatest enemy for the body to heal itself. It causes tension, headaches, heart problems, sleep problems. Stress heightens the growth of cancers in your body. The body can heal itself if it is one of the beauty that God has given to us. How God has given the body an instinctive ability to heal itself. Under the right condition, the body will heal itself. Your body can identify foreign matter and waste matter and quickly eliminate them. When you're cut, protein and platelets will rush to the area that you're cut and coagulate so you do not bleed out. God has created this gift of immune system so that your body can create specific antibodies without the need for antibiotics to fight off disease on its own function. Our body is created to heal itself to a certain extent. Some doctors will even tell you that medicine do not heal you. It only treats the symptoms. Only the immune system heals, and that is a gift from God. Bad things such as poor diet gets in the way of the body being able to heal itself. And when it gets in the body, way to heal itself, it cannot be part of God's plan. Worrying is predicting what's going to happen to you. So the Bible tells us in Psalms 4 to meditate, speak to oneself. Be aware of things around you, but don't worry. Don't fear. Fear wants you to worry so much about possible outcomes that you are paralyzed. Fear should not paralyze you or be so debilitating that it stops you from doing what you need to do. You have taken appropriate precautions, so go on and do what needs to be done. When our Messiah died, in John 20, it says they were in fear of the Jews, but that did not stop them from going and gathering together. What they did, they locked the door. And Nehemiah, when he's building the wall, and Sambalat and his friends sought to kill him, that did not stop them. It says in Nehemiah 4, starting in verse 16, and it says, "And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servant wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the aubergines, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which build on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it. Everyone with one of his hand wrought in the work, and with the other held a weapon." They took the appropriate precaution. Some of us might say these days they were working and they were strapped. You got to press on despite your fear. You should not have faith and fear in the same heart. We should not be saints of the Most High and be afraid all at the same time. It is kind of difficult to worship if you can pray and still have fear. You're, in a sense, double-minded. At some point in your faith, in your walk, faith must kick in. And you can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Trust God, because the truth of it all is that our life can be snatched from us in a twinkling of an eye. The Bible says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Sound mind means you take precautions. Learn from the examples of the disciples and Nehemiah. Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding. So be anxious for nothing. Be worried about nothing. The word nothing means no one. So what Paul is saying, there is something basically wrong with saints who say they believe in God and yet they worry about everything. And also, it says, as I said, don't worry about no one. So if you're in the body and someone comes to you and says something that's not of God's word, don't worry about them. Just pray. Keep you calm. That is why the song says, don't worry. When you can pray, trust Yahshua and he'll lead the way. I know some are saying, I hear you, bro, but I'm not fearful. There's just some extenuating circumstances why I cannot come to church. And I do not need to belong to a building. The Bible tells me that my body is the temple of the Lord. That means where I am, there the Holy Spirit is also. I do not need a building. That is as bad as fear, because the Bible does not teach that. So what is church? The first we hear about church, the word church, is in Matthew 16:13. When Yahshua came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do you say I am? And they say, I'm the Son of Man. I'll drop down to verse 18 for time. And I also say unto you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. In this context, Yahshua was referring to the universal church. And no, he was not talking about the Catholic Church, by the way. He was talking about belonging to Christ, the body of Christ. The second time he spoke about church was in Matthew 18:15. It says, moreover, if your brother sin against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like an heathen or a tax collector. So Matthew 18 here is using church in a local sense. Many people want to belong to the church, the body of Christ, our Messiah. But no one wants to belong to a local church because they think they can do it on their own. They will say, oh, I belong to the body. So if you belong to the body and not to a local congregation, who are you going to take your issues to? Are you going to go to some far country to find someone to deal your issue to? You need to belong to a local congregation. Messiah came here to build a local congregation. We know the church is not a building, but the church meets in a building. Building is a home for God's family. That is why you can sell the building and yet the church remains intact. The church is not an organization, it's an organism. It is alive, it is a body. And it's described like this in several in the Bible. The church is described as a family, brothers and sisters. Just like Brother Victor just said in his sermon, God is trying to replicate himself and his family. The church is also described as a flock or under shepherds, or under the good shepherd himself, Yahshua HaMashiach. And as a shepherd, you're supposed to lead the flock from the front, not from behind. And that's why the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And the shepherd should also know all of his sheep by name. John 10. The church is also described as a fellowship. And people use this word fellowship interchangeably with friendship. But it's much stronger than this. It exists only between people who have the same Holy Spirit. Fellowship is from the word koinonia. And it's the same word used for the word Siamese twins. And you know Siamese twins share the same blood. They share almost everything together. They can't do without each other. So that's why we koinonia, and we share the same life in the body of Christ. The essential thing about a church is about relationship, how each part relate to each other. If there's no relationship in the church, then it's just an audience of people sitting who don't know each other. You need each part of the body. The finger, if you just have the finger and no nose, what would the finger scratch? Every part of the body needs each other. The church is also described as a bride. We are part of his bride. We are betrothed, engaged, but not yet consummated. So we are now in the process of getting ourselves ready. The church is also a building, and it's a living building where the Messiah is the cornerstone of the building. The Bible also describes the church as the ecclesia, the called out or the outcalled assembly of God. It was used back in the days to describe political assembly, where the representative of the people would come together in a meeting to deal with the people's business. So, but we as a church have been called out of the world to come together and serve each other. The word come together is from the word synagoga. Sun is together, goga is to come. And could anyone really tell me what other word comes from the word synagoga? Yeah, synagogue. Yeah, and synagogue means it's a call out, come together of God's people. We need to impress upon people why we need to go to church. So here's some reason why we must gather together, as we say, go to church. Because the first verse I'll say is, the Bible says in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, that's it for me. I need to hear no more. I'm done. We can all go home now. Obviously, I'm just joking. But we need the church to be united. So one of the first things for church is unity. Ephesians 4 gives us different types of unity. It gives us invisible unity, which is one spirit. It gives us eschatological unity, where we have one hope in the resurrection of the dead and eternal life. It gives us Christological unity. One Lord, that is Yahshua, is our only Messiah. It gives us doctrinal unity. One faith. We believe in the same basic principle. And it gives us one baptism and theological unity, one God. But we're here because of visible unity. In verse 4, it says we are one body, not an invisible body. As a rule, a body is visible. Visible as Christ having one body. In the parable of the lost sheep, the good shepherd went out to find that one sheep, which was important. But he could not have done this if the body, the other 99, did not stay together. Watch this. It is difficult for your enemy to attack you when you're together. no matter how strong you think you are, and you're by yourself, the enemy will find a way and attack you. And he will get you and he will devour you. Because he's relentless. That's why the flock needs to stay together. John, the next reason why we need the church, because we need to be in relationship with other witnesses. John 20, starting in verse 19, says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Yeshua came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" Verse 20, "When he had said this, he showed his hand and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Yeshua said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Yeshua came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said unto them, 'Unless I see his hand and the print of the nail, put his finger into the print of the nails and put my hands in his side, I will not believe.'" Verse 26, "And on the eighth day, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Yeshua came to the doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hands here and print my side. Do not be unbelieving.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord, my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen but yet believe." As I say, we need to be in relationship with witness. You can't be your best self by yourself. In the last few years, this has rang particularly true during, especially with mental illness. You have heard by now how many people being in isolation and the suicide rates and the thought of suicide have increased. But being together with people of like mind uplifts you. When you hear a story from Sister Maria, who travels 6 hours just to reach church, and when you hear a story from, when you see people like Sister Eus comes in and play the piano and you hear that noise, it uplifts you. And Sister Sheila, 89 years old, coming into church, walking through those there. Being in church gives you something that Zoom could never give you. In the ministry, no one was ever sent by themselves. It was always two. Matthew 18 says, "And I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." There comes a time in our lives when we need to lean on one another. I know people who are assembled with are sometimes worse than the so-called sinners outside. They backbite, they schism, they do all kind of ism. They can be mean and difficult. But we are told that the wheat and the tear shall grow together. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. And I'll start in 28 for time's sake. He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather them up, the tares also uproot and the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. But people in the church has to realize that even though we're in the church, we are still people. We are still sick people, and we are in need of that great physician. Brethren, I tell you this. If you find a perfect church, an angelic church, a church where everybody just sing kumbaya and nothing goes wrong, don't join, because you'll only spoil it. Leave it. Leave it to themselves. Church is necessary because you surround yourself with people who care. On Zoom, it's out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. But let's go back to the Bible. Look at verse 24. It said that when Yeshua came, Thomas wasn't there. But in verse 25, it says, and they said to Thomas, which implies that they immediately went after Yeshua left to find Thomas to tell him the good news of our Savior's resurrection. This is what is so good about the body. They do not let brethren wander aimlessly, unaware of what's going on. You need a body where you can show up and give a hug, or you can just look in someone's eyes and see if they're hurting or not. Watch this. Yeshua showed up, and he showed the disciples his hand. Thomas say, I won't believe unless I see his hand. The same thing Yeshua had showed the disciples previously. If you were in the assembly with the brethren, you would have received what you should have received at that time. Sometimes we are supposed to get blessings, but because of disobedience, our blessing or the revelation that we're supposed to get is delayed. But notice, Yeshua showed up a week later again. He could have met Thomas on the road, just like he did Mary. He could have gone to Thomas' house. He could have gone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. But he waited again for 1 week later and showed up to show Thomas his healed hand. You need to come to see some people who were prayed and that the Lord healed them. You need to come and see people like, you need to come to church and see people like Sister Davina and how the Lord has healed her mightily. Those things you do not get on Zoom. You need to see people who were down and the Lord raised them. There's a song that they sing. Lord, when I was down, Lord, you raised me. Lord, I thank you for the days of my life. When you come to church and you see all these wonderful work of the Almighty, you can't keep quiet about the goodness of God. We need to see some miracle happening in the body. We need to see that encouragement. Next, we go to church because it's a training ground. The Bible tells us to go into the world and preach. Holy Spirit gives you a gift for the building of the body, not to get rich, but to edify the body, enlarge the kingdom. We are to be living a kingdom life now. But as Brother Victor said, not because you come to church though, don't mean you're going to be in the kingdom. The Holy Spirit does not give everyone every gift. He gives this gift to this person and that gift to the next person. If the Holy Spirit gave everyone every gift, then we really would not need each other. This one has that gift and that one has that gift, so we can be connected with someone with another gift. Your connection is greater than being in isolation. This is where you become disciples. This is where you come to grow your gift. If Elder Smith have all the gift, well, he'd probably be tired, probably full of pride, conceited, and he definitely messed the body up because he'd be doing everything in just lording it over us. But that's why the Lord gives everybody a different gift. The body is great because every part is needed. And when each part is used to the potential, there's nothing better than that. No one wishing they had that other gift or that gift. Just use the gift that God gives you. And then you'll see the glory of God manifest itself. And next reason why you come to church is to hear a word. I know you're saying, I'm on Zoom, I can hear. Or, I have a Bible, I can read for myself. And if that's not enough, you have 24/7 access to sermon of all topic. It's online. It's truly a buffet. And that's all good. But that's why the Almighty placed elders and deacons and whatever in our midst. So they can rule over us. Sometimes as children, we want to consume everything. But not all things are good to eat. Sometimes you eat the same thing all the time, and that can be bad for your health. But the shepherd the Almighty placed over you should, and I hope, have an idea what you need in your diet. Online, as I say, it's just like a buffet. You pick and choose. But when you go to the house of the Lord and the message starts, if you want to leave or if you want to, it's hard to tune out the message. You just have to stay there and listen to it. You need a balanced diet, not just stuff that makes you feel good, but the things that might give you a running belly sometimes, because a running belly purges you sometimes and make you feel better in the long run. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Another reason why we need to come to church, and this one is a bit personal, is that we come to set an example for people like my wife. You know, today is my anniversary, and I'm not saying that for recognition, because my wife will tell you, I hate celebrations, really. I don't like to celebrate these things, and I think that's one thing she laments about me, because she likes to celebrate, she likes to bake, but I'm not into it. You know, but I think sometimes, you know, the Almighty wants me to spend the time with him, because the last time I gave a sermon, it was my birthday, so it seemed like every time there's a special occasion, I'm up here speaking, so I assume that the Lord just wants me to spend it with him. But before I start going out with Bridget, you know, I always invited her to church. She came sometimes. When she lived with me, she kind of had to come. The Bible tells me that if you're in an equal yoke, you should not marry that person. All right? But we got married, an equal yoke. But the Bible also tells you should not leave that person, because what happens is that the unbeliever may become a believer. Well, in my house, and some will scoff at this, whether you want to, yes or no, even if you come for a visit and I'm going to church and you're staying in my house, yeah, you have to come to church. It's not an option. So my wife came to church because of the example, you might say a bit of force, of the example I said, but she also came because she loved me. And I know it's love, because she ended up marrying me. And brethren, I'm not ashamed to say this. As a matter of fact, I'm ecstatic to say, while she was coming, she fell in love with another man. She fell in love with a man named Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. And I love her for that even more. So now I do not have to worry about two different examples being set in my house. People who you witness to want something that's greater than them. And sitting at home on Zoom just don't cut it. They need a community. They need a communion with one another to grow. And when we all have the children together playing and seeing the fun that they have and them having a sense of belonging, you can say to yourself, that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We need to attend a congregation for everyone to know each other and to minister to each other. Going to church is a coming together to be a part of one, not being an individual worshiping and doing your own thing. Regen, in conclusion, Zoom has its purpose, but over time, it leads to complacency because we do the opposite of what Hebrews 10:25 says. We start neglecting the assembly of one another, and the enemy sees this and uses it to his advantage, and something that started out for a benefit ends up destroying us. You cannot replace coming and looking into someone's eye and seeing how they feel and, well, we can't really touch, but give them a bump and say, how you doing? You know, and I will kind of end this with what elders say. You cannot build a church online. Coming to church, coming to the body of Christ is a love thing. Actually, I'll end it with what Brother Victor says. This is God's big picture with eternal intention. Brethren, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And happy anniversary, Bridget.